I'll be reading from Hebrews 6. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Beautiful sunny morning. Cool but sunshine. Great day. Glad you're with us. This morning, our contribution time, our contribution will go to the Stones River Manor for their capital campaign. And so that'll be this morning. We'll have a video in just a few moments that'll explain a little bit more. There are some brochures in the back that you're welcome to look at. And there are some pledge cards back there as well that you might want to. They're accepting pledges for the next 4 years. As part of that campaign. So you may want to do something on a monthly or an annual basis, and I think those are in the foyer. If you're not prepared today and would like to do something, we can certainly accommodate that. And you can just make your checks out to the Milton Church of Christ, and we'll put all those together and get that to the Stones River Manor. Gerald, that seemed the best way. So just, I know a couple of you had asked how you need to do that. Just make those to the church. But that will be today's contribution, and we'll do that. And if you have any questions about that, certainly feel free to see Kathy or Penny, who can give you some explanation. I'll be glad to help you some on that if you have some more interest. But there's several ways that you can help. And so I will speak fairly briefly this morning so we can watch that video and then do the contribution. We'll kind of begin to set up for the Day of Atonement. We'll talk about that next week. David Coggin will be here because many of us will be retreating next week. So that will be a good time for those of you who are unable to go with us, and we'll have a great time for those of us who are able to go. David Dunn will be speaking for us, but we will pick this up then when we return. But kind of lay a little foundation. It's significant. In fact, a great deal of the book of Hebrews will kind of focus on this thought of the Day of Atonement. So understanding the Day of Atonement a little better will help us have a greater understanding of some of the writings of the Hebrew writer. It's also kind of interesting. We've always heard the term, or you've heard the term, it seems to happen sometimes when a scandal occurs or something goes wrong and somebody gets fired. And sometimes the speculation is, well, I'm not sure that they were really the cause of the problem, but they're the scapegoat. They're the scapegoat. That term scapegoat comes from the scripture and the Day of Atonement. Every year, Israel had a scapegoat. We're not going to talk about the scapegoat, but you stay with us as we discuss the Day of Atonement, and we'll talk about the scapegoat because that's where that not only the term, but the whole thought of a scapegoat, someone or something bearing the responsibility of the sins of someone else. And so that's actually a biblical concept, and we'll talk about that. Access to God. In the Garden of Eden, God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening, remember? And conversed with Adam and Eve. But sin enters the world and brings a barrier between God and man. Sin is a barrier. It is an impediment in our relationship with God. And that is symbolized in the temple and in the tabernacle, in that the Ark of the Covenant, on which was the mercy seat, where God would say that he would appear in the cloud, in the smoke, was divided from the rest of the tabernacle or temple by a veil, by a partition. And things change as God, through Moses, institutes the Day of Atonement. And the change comes based on the sins of Nadab and Abihu, who were priests, who were sons of Aaron, who come to the tabernacle to to offer incense with unauthorized fire. And so God says, Moses, tell Aaron that he cannot come into my presence anytime he wants to. Let's read from Leviticus 16, which is the chapter that talks about the Day of Atonement, and see what the Lord says. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover of the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. So not only has there been a separation because of sin that occurred in the garden and continues in our sinfulness, but now the priests who come because of their sinfulness, they were unable to come behind the veil into the Holy of Holies anytime they want, but actually only on the Day of Atonement could the high priest come. So now we have a greater separation. Now let's read from Hebrews. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, now what does that mean? The priests in Israel were all of the tribe of Levi, okay? You were either born in the tribe or you were not. And so priests, the tribe of Levi was set aside to serve God and to serve at the temple. All right, remember, they don't receive a land inheritance that is separate, but the cities of refuge are the Levites are there, and they dwell within the cities, and they are able to provide for themselves and their families because they're able to eat from the sacrifices and the offerings that are brought to the tabernacle or to the temple. So you've got the Levites, so you've got this priesthood that are Levites. So they're the Hebrew writer now in the New Testament makes reference to the Levitical priesthood. For on the basis of it, the law was given to the people. Why was there still need for another priest to come? What was the difference? What had happened to the Levitical priesthood? One, in the order of Melchizedek, this new priest, not in the order of Aaron. For when there is a change of the priesthood, there must also be a change of the law. He of whom these things are said belonged to a different tribe, and no one from that tribe has ever served at the altar. For it is clear that our Lord descended from Judah, and in regard to that tribe, Moses said nothing about priests. And what we have said is even more clear: if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath. But he became, speaking of Jesus, became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. Many of the Levitical priests of the Aaronic priesthood, been many of those because they have lived and died. All right? But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. All right. So the Hebrew writer tells us something of tremendous significance. And when we talk more about the Day of Atonement, this will make more sense, because the high priest first had to wash himself, change clothes, and make an offering for himself and for his family and for the priesthood, because they were unclean. So that's the first thing that the high priest has to do. Then he goes in and makes sacrifice for himself and makes sacrifice for the people. Then he comes out and washes again. Okay? So we have a high priest who himself is imperfect and has to do this annually, because the sacrifice doesn't forgive sins. But we have a high priest in Jesus who has to make no sacrifice for himself, because he is perfect. He is sinless. And he, in the sacrifice of himself as the Passover lamb, made a sacrifice that was sufficient to forgive sins once and for all. So there's no reason to continue to offer sacrifice, because the sacrifice has been made once and for all. There's no change in the priesthood, because Jesus lives forever. And Jesus, where is Jesus? This is really important. We know the answer to this question, but it's really important in light of our discussion about atonement. Because what had happened at the time of Aaron? When was the priest able to come before the mercy seat of God to make an atoning sacrifice for the people? Once a year. But our high priest, Jesus, in the order of Melchizedek, where is he? He is at the right hand of the Father, right? Why do we pray when we pray in the name of Jesus? Because it is through Jesus that he makes intercession for us. He is always with the Father, making intercession for us and pleading on our behalf. So it's not an imperfect high priest who goes before God once a year, but it is the perfect high priest, the perfect Lamb of God, who is always with the Father. And so what Carl read for us makes reference that we have a hope. And that hope is of salvation and eternal life. That hope is the same type of hope that Abraham had, that he believed God and that God would keep his promises. And we have a hope as well. And he uses the phraseology, which is one of my favorites in all the scripture, that we have a hope that is anchored, right? And we even sing the song. As he read that, you remember the song? There is an anchor that keeps the soul, right? That we have this anchor that passes through the veil. The veil that separated man and even the priesthood from the presence of God. But Jesus has been able to pass through the veil, to continually make intercession, that there is not that barrier between us and God that had existed before. But we have access to the Father through Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. As we continue to study about the atonement and what it means in the Day of Atonement, realize this was an annual sacrifice that talked about sin and its atonement. And now the significance that we have a high priest who is always before God. So our relationship with God through Jesus is changed and strengthened, and we have continual access to God through the Son. And he is there continually pleading our case before the Father. The perfect Lamb, the perfect high priest, and now the barrier that was both symbolic and actual has been broken. Because remember, we've shared this before, when Jesus dies on the cross, not only does the earth quake and the skies turn dark, but what happens in the temple? The veil of the temple rips from top to bottom. The Gospels are quick to tell us that. And the symbolism of that barrier was broken through the sacrifice of Jesus. And so Jesus is not only the perfect lamb who shed his blood as a payment for sin. And we'll talk more about that because we're going to look at Leviticus and Hebrews kind of paralleled and a little bit of Romans because it will talk about this perfect Lamb of God and that in God's patience, he didn't bring judgment or condemnation on sin anticipating this sacrifice. But not only was he the perfect sacrifice, but he is now our perfect high priest. And so as children of God, now we have access to the Father through the Son. That no longer is there that barrier of the veil, but the anchor to which we hold passes through the veil and is anchored in God himself. If you need to respond to the great sacrifice of Jesus and the grace of God, why don't you come while we're together, we stand and sing.